Hey, everybody, it's Andy Klodfelter, and you're listening to the 90s Court.
It's Lisa Monahan, and yes, you're doing what Andy just said you're doing.
You're doing that thing.
Welcome.
Welcome back. You're absolutely killing it right now at listening to this show.
So good.
Welcome back, everybody. We are so excited. We've had a great few weeks here, and honestly, the sun is shining. It's the day of the big game that I can tell. I'm sure Lisa is so excited. The great thing about this is I'm going to touch probably at least more than once by mention the fact that the big game, honestly, we're not advertising anything, so we can say the Super Bowl. It's just when we're advertising. You can't use the Super Bowl's name to, like, promote your stuff or whatever, so that was to say the big game.
We can call it the Superb Owl Show.
The Superb Owl. The Superb Owl game is coming up tonight.
Or we can add an E in there, and it could be like the Super Bowl.
Yes, we could say that. Yeah. There's going to be lots, just a massive bowel just emitting all kinds of shit. So,
yeah. Anyway, welcome the puppy, to the show.
Welcome, everybody. The Puppy Bowl will be on tonight for many
puppy
of you
bowl,
as well.
Yeah.
Who, honestly, like, I've watched that a few times whenever the Patriots have just been in it, and I'm like, fuck the Patriots.
Yep.
Sorry,
yep.
Pat. Sorry, Pats fans.
I'm not sorry.
Really hard to, it's hard to love you when you just made the game unbearable and unpleasant, so I watch puppies and kittens instead.
Yep.
So for those of you, maybe always like to mention this for people who might be new listeners, this is a show where we talk about the 90s, you know, that fun decade. You remember, unless you don't, because you were born in 2000, in which case, welcome to our 20-year-old listeners. We're 20-year-old listeners.
Yeah.
Yikes. And we like to take two things, two popular culture type things, whether it be movies, TV shows, video games, snacks, toys, etc., and we put them together in court, and we each take a side of one thing and pit them against each other in Mortal Kombat. And then we have you. No, not him. You. Listen. And then you decide who wins as we put up polls on both Facebook and Twitter to determine the victor.
Well, there it is.
Yeah, I said the thing.
You did all the things, so.
So, how was your week this week?
I've been surviving. Like, more pink eye, and my daughter, who's about to be 2 this month, has fully entered the 2-year-old stage and is tantruming.
Ooh.
Like I told you, like a 3-hour tantrum. So, we're tired. We're exhausted.
unfathomable, really, as a single guy with no kids.
Well,
it's unfathomable.
It's can you imagine a tiny gremlin who's just mad and they don't know why, and then like
sure,
and
yeah.
then you the parent are like, okay, I'm at mass, we're about to go for communion, I'm going to take this tiny gremlin who's arching her back as if she's been possessed by the devil himself, and we're going to walk and get the Eucharist and go take communion, and then just go sit in defeat in the car until mass is over. That's what my day is like. Yay.
Sure. I mean, I'd be like, hey, you got me. Thank you for getting me out of that service.
For sure.
So I
can
go sit in the car instead.
There are some days I'm like, this is all right, actually. Thanks. So what about you?
No, thank you for that example. So that way I could relate it to my experience of having gremlin children.
Yes.
That I have. Because I couldn't understand a human child, but a gremlin, yes. Honestly, this week was pretty chill. Nothing crazy. I'm currently, dude. Okay, so this is something that's probably Y2 court related, but I started watching The Wire. Like, I think I had somebody try and have me watch some of it. I've never watched it all the way, and I'm like, I understand this is one of the best shows of all time. In fact, I was mentioning to somebody, and I looked up Rolling Stone had like the top 100 TV shows of all time, and Breaking Bad was number 3, and The Wire was number 2.
Mm-hmm.
Can you guess what number 1 was?
Number 1 show of all time?
Yes.
The Osbournes.
No. The Sopranos.
Oh, The Sopranos. I was hoping it was The Osbournes. Yeah.
Which, I mean, that's the thing is it kind of makes me realize, like, when we've been thinking about, like, Y2 court episodes, I'm like, we can't do TV again, but it's like, dude, like, from 2000 to 2005, TV was just fucking hopping. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I've been enjoying The Wire, so that's been rad. And it's, for all of you who live in more exciting hot climates like Lisa, who just bragged about what temperature it was there, it's like 53 in Illinois right now, and I am just like, oh my God, the sun is out, it's bright and shiny, and I am just ready to just fucking discuss some dumb nonsense from the 90s.
It's true. Let's fucking do it. Do you want to get really upset? Can I start the show by upsetting you very much?
Could you please upset me with the thing that you're going to say? I can't even imagine what you're so certain is going to upset me, but I'm looking forward to it.
Because it upset me. Because every week when we get ready for the show, I do research, and I always start here, and where I think I'm going to end up is also there, and I end up way further away. So I was researching. So I always want to talk about MTV. I always like there's so much stuff that happened on MTV in the 90s that was fantastic. And I was looking at
so much.
Yeah, I was looking at VMA stuff, and I started reading up, and I was like, okay, hold on, I'm derailing pretty hard. It's like, this is where I'm going with this. So as we know, there were a lot of crazy and insane things that happened in the 90s. There was fashion trends, crazy movies, the insane evolution of music, and like the grunge movement. And honestly, like, we try to bury a lot of these bad memories.
Sure.
Did we not? Yeah, like, we try. We don't know, like a cat covering it up, we're trying, but oh no, sometimes out from the litter crawls.
Weasels its way in.
Yes.
I'm here.
Yes. And like, honestly, none of those memories should ever make us as upset or concern us as much as one very specific thing that happened in the 90s. And that thing is on May 26, 1994, the world was not prepared for what was happening. And on that day, it was the day that Lisa Marie Presley married Michael Jackson.
Why was that a thing? I vaguely remember this happening.
It's important to talk about because I'm telling you, it's a repressed memory, right? Like, you know it happened, and yet you don't know it happened because you don't want it to happen. There were so many things that happened. So, like, it was the day they got married, and a couple months later, on August 1st, 1994, Lisa Marie Presley released a statement kind of announcing that they got married. She said, "My married name is Mrs. Lisa Marie Presley Jackson. My marriage to Michael Jackson took place in a private ceremony outside the U.S. weeks ago. I am very much in love with Michael. I dedicate my life to being his wife. I understand and support him. We both look forward to raising a family." And that is how their union was announced. And so people were kind of like, that's weird. I don't think I would have seen that coming. And this was all like, because first of all, they got the date that they got married was just 20 days after she finalized her divorce from her first husband, Danny
DeVito.
DeVito. Thank you. K E O U G H is how you spell DeVito.
He easily mispronounced. Yeah. I understand.
Yeah. So apparently, Lisa Marie Presley met Michael Jackson in 1975 when she attended one of his concerts in Las Vegas where he was part of the Jackson 5. So that's already kind of like, ooh, I don't like it. And so everyone's kind of like, what the fuck is this? So this is how I got onto this tangent, because on in case it wasn't believable that they had gotten married, they showed up at the MTV VMAs in September of 1994, the same year they got married. And so Michael Jackson stepped out with Lisa by his side, and everyone's losing it because it's Michael Jackson and it's the 90s, and everyone's pissing their shit about Michael Jackson. All right.
I'm sorry, what?
They're pissing their shit.
Like, just making sure.
Organs aren't working properly because Michael Jackson is here. All right. Yes. Like, organs aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing any longer. So he comes out, everyone's cheering and screaming. He just says, "Hello," and they all lose it. And then he's like, welcome to the MTV Video Music Awards. I'm very happy to be here. And as he's holding Lisa Marie Presley, he said, just think, nobody thought this would last. And then he, like, kissed her a long time.
Uh-huh.
And it was just like, I watched the video of it today, and she just looks visibly uncomfortable during the whole thing. Like, she's kind of looking around and smiling, but then a lot of the time she just looks like she's got her hand on her stomach, which is like a really, you know, like, I don't feel totally right. And you know, and as they're walking off stage, she's like kind of covering her face a little bit. It's just odd.
Jeez.
Yeah. And so the whole marriage was happening at the same time that, like, all these allegations of child molestation and things like that were coming up for Michael Jackson. And there were also rumors flying around that Jackson was, or Michael was, obsessed with Elvis, and he wanted into that world. And thus this whole thing with Lisa panned out. But if you remember a very special music video that he made, in which Lisa Marie Presley was also in the music video, and most of the time she was just naked. And like,
really?
He was like she was naked with like maybe a sheer skirt sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then he was also like naked with a, like a, like a Roman toga over his crotch or something. And they were mostly just like whispering to each other. And she was bent over whispering into his ear and giggling. And it's one of the most uncomfortable music videos you can watch.
This is okay. Yeah. What you just, that is not a music video. No. That is shitty. That is shitty porn. What, what was the song
you
accompanied
are,
this?
You Are Not Alone. Hmm. That's the name of the song. He's like, you are not alone. And she's like, I'm being held hostage. Help me. And but yeah, she's like faced away from the video most of the time and just whispering in his ear, and this is all fucked up. It's so weird. And so
how much did he pay her to do all of this? Because it's so evident this is 100% like a stunt.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Because but don't forget, nobody thought this would last, right? Well, it didn't. It didn't even make it to 2 years.
Nobody thought this would last, and you were right.
Yeah, it didn't even make it to 2 years. And but aren't we lucky to have that VMA appearance, that music video, and all the terrible everything that came with this? Apparently, he was like addicted to drugs at the time. I don't know. He was Michael Jackson. He had a lot of problems. Oh. And so, but he, yeah, not even 2 years. But I really, it's just one of those things that's buried inside of a beautiful tub of ice cream, and you like you're going for some peanut butter, but instead you get like a little bit of like maybe the fingertip of someone from the factory.
Oh no.
That's what this is, right?
Just like that a common experience that you all have. Yes. When you're eating ice cream.
I've got to stop buying Breyers. It's nothing like oops all fingertips. I hate that flavor.
Don't sue us, Breyers. We're sorry.
As I say Breyers, but no, I Breyers.
You know, I remember, it's funny that I remember, like, the only memory I really have of that now, of that whole marriage thing, was I remember there was the whole thing about, oh, the king of pop marries the, you know, is now
princess
a membership of the king.
Yeah.
The king of, yeah, the king in general.
Yeah.
Wow. No, that's that was a memory I would rather not have, but it's funny now, like, in retrospect, thinking about it, I'm like, man, like, thinking about, like, government cover-ups, all that kind of stuff, I'm like, usually... Like, by comparison, government cover-ups are pretty good versus this one where it's just like, I need people to think I'm into women, like, right now.
Yeah,
like
I'm definitely into women. I'm not into changing my shape like an alien. I definitely love this human person with hearts and organs, and I definitely don't like sleeping in an incubator with, you know, covered in weighted blankets and children whispering to me all night.
It is hard to stomach the thought of him kissing a person with the face.
And don't forget about the like random nurse he married. I don't have any notes on that, but like he married a nurse, or I think he married a nurse, but he definitely had like a child question mark or two. Blanket. Some kid named Blanket.
Blanket, yes, I remember Blanket, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, we don't have to go in. We don't have enough hours.
We don't have enough time to talk about Michael Jackson.
That's Lisa Marie Presley marrying Michael Jackson.
Oh, man. Okay, well, thanks for that. Yeah. So, man, we're just going to be bringing some some topics of some shame and regret.
Oh, no. Are you also doing this?
Some people, yeah. Well, yeah, it's weird. I also took the Michael Jackson thing. No, I'm kidding. So, here's the thing. So, my thing today, Lisa's not going to be so into this.
You don't know me.
She's not going to have as much. Nah, I have a pretty good feeling. I think we've actively discussed that you're not a big fan of sports.
Okay.
But this is one thing that like I've kind of thought about a while. I'm like, how do I bring this up? I'm like, well, this isn't going to be a court case. This is just because it's ridiculous. This would be the worst court case thing to face up against ever. But
okay.
So this is the time of, you know, the 90s was the time when, you know, Chicago Bulls were absolute world beaters. They were amazing. The Yankees, I think for a while there, were absolute world beaters. Just a lot of, you know, teams that were on the up and up and things were going super well. So, Lisa, have you ever been into any sports, like in particular, like at any time, like maybe local sports or anything like that?
I love tennis. I love following tennis. And I do when the Dallas Mavericks were in the playoffs against the Miami Heats. Miami Heats, Lisa, come
all
on.
All of the
Miami
Heats.
Miami Heat. This was in the late 2000s, I think, because I was living I was living in North Texas, so I was into it then. Sure. And I love football. I do like I like football as a child because it just is a positive memory. But anyway, we don't need that.
So have you, like, I guess the question is this, so I'm from the state of Illinois.
Yeah.
And I mention that because as a person who has historically been a Cubs fan, I'm not as much into baseball now. I just don't really watch it that much.
Right.
Has been a Cubs fan, has been a Bears fan, has been a Fighting Illini fan of both their football and basketball teams. It's been a lot of disappointment. It's been a lot, like, you know, and that's, and I'm not sure a lot of people have that experience of just like, if you have a team like an Alabama Crimson Tide or a Clemson Tiger, something like that, you know, some kind of a team that is just perennially good. If you're a New England Patriots fan, as we touched on earlier, good for you. Like, that's not most people's experience. We don't get to just win all the time, right?
Right.
In fact, like, even the years that we do well, things don't go so well. So in the 90s, even in, I would say even as early as the 80s, but mainly the 90s was when this whole thing happened, was there was a team that I ended up being kind of a fan of, and my family would know about this, and even some of my friends knew that, like, in their 90s, like, I was randomly a fan of this team. And I think because of the fact that they had some let's say, some tough luck.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the NFL.
Okay.
And this is a team that from 1988 to 1999 made the playoffs 10 out of 12 years.
Whoa.
Which is unreal. That is, like, so freaking good.
Yeah.
After 1999, they would not make the playoffs again until 2017.
Oof.
And then they also made it this year, and they were actually a pretty good team. So from 1990, the year 1992, to 1993, so it was the 91 Super Bowl because it was the next year, you know, when the Super Bowl happens versus the 90 season, the Buffalo Bills.
Oh.
The Buffalo Bills had what, that's the thing, is it's, they had a record-setting amazing stat that still stands to this day. They made the Super Bowl 4 years in a row.
Wow.
Which is unfathomable. Thinking about how hard it is to not only make the playoffs, but then make it through the playoffs and make it to the Super Bowl. 4 straight years. Unreal. They finished the regular season in those years, 1990 to 1993, 13-3, 13-3, 11-5, and 12-4, and made it to the Super Bowl all 4 years in a row. They had a great team, and the first year in 1990, they had a tragic ending. It was 19-20. They ended up coming. The other team had kicked a field goal to go take the lead against the Giants. They went down the field, and with, like, no time left, they kicked a field goal, and this is something that is well known in Buffalo Bills fans mythology, is wide right, because they kicked it and it went wide right, and they missed it.
Damn it.
And that is how they lost their first Super Bowl. Now, they also hold another record, Lisa, which obviously is going to be obvious in a moment, which is that they lost all four of those Super Bowls.
So imagine for a moment.
Each year, like, you lost that first one, you're like, damn it, like, what's the, like the Bears, for example. We went to the Super Bowl back in 2007 or 2008, I don't remember exact year, but we went to the Super Bowl, and it was so heartbreaking when we lost after our team was so good. Imagine losing that first one, and then the unfathomable event of making it again the next year.
Yeah.
Being like, holy shit, because it doesn't happen very often. A losing Super Bowl team usually goes downhill. Making it to next year, they lost again, but this time they lost by a shitload to the Washington Redskins.
Oh.
The next 2 years, they actually, I have an interesting stat that I was reading up on. One of the years, they had they still hold the largest overcoming of a deficit during a playoff game. They were down they were down 35-3 in a playoff game against the Houston Oilers, and ended up coming back and winning 41-38, and then ended up playing the Dallas Cowboys in the Super Bowl.
Oops.
And lost 52-17. So
how about,
let's just
boys,
put it this way. This is the ultimate case of something that I always think of, because this is the thing, is, like I said, in those days, for some reason, I think it was because the Buffalo Bills lost, that I got super into them, because I was like, yeah, they're going to make it, they deserve to win or whatever, and screw the Cowboys. So I actually have owned a Buffalo Bills jersey for, like, a really long time. And the crazy thing was that was, yeah, that they lost those four Super Bowls. They missed it the next year, and then they went to the playoffs two more years, missed it again, and then went to the playoffs two more years. And then I can't fathom, like, this is the thing, is like, we cling to the 90s and how great they were. As a Buffalo Bills fan, after 1990 ended, missing not going to the playoffs for another 17 years.
Yeah.
And that is what we call the New England Patriots effect.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, who was in the same division as them, and they ended up just missing it every year. But I think I like to think of this as a great example of, like, listen, like, your team might be frustrating, it might be upsetting. For example, like, I was just listening to Illinois basketball. They just lost a big game. I mean, they were expected to lose, but they kind of lost a heartbreaker just before this episode started.
Oops.
And maybe things aren't so bad, you know?
Yeah.
This is the ultimate, like, you know, things could always be worse. You could make the playoffs 10 out of 12 years, make the Super Bowl four years in a row, and just lose constantly. I just always have a big heart for people that live in places where their teams are frustrating, sad, et cetera, because sports is, it's one of those things that you just put your all into for a year and then just have it come up short like that.
Yeah.
You'd almost rather just be bad right off the bat and just be like, oh, I don't have to really, I'm not, you know, not invested this year, you know, but instead just making it that far. Yeah. Or you could be Lisa and just never be invested. Team Tornado.
I love the Miami Heats. I love them.
Yeah, she loves the Heats.
I love the Heats.
I will say, Lisa, you have kind of a similar experience, though, in the sense that you've never seen a tornado. It's like you're part of, like, this, your own losing team.
Yeah, I am the biggest loser, but not in a fun weight loss way, just in a never having seen any fucking tornadoes way.
Yeah, so
but question.
It was just because of the fact that the Super Bowl was tonight. I just had to kind of cover and I'm, for those of you who are not going to talk about the Super Bowl, because it'd be ridiculous to be like, I think this team's going to win, when this episode is going to come out after the Super Bowl has taken place. So
yeah, who is it? Is it the Steelers versus 49ers? Is that right?
Nope, the 49ers versus the Chiefs.
Who cares? The Chiefs?
Yeah.
It's the 49ers. Yeah, they're the favorite. They're going to win. No, 49ers.
I'm not going to call my shot right now, because calling your shot is literally saying, if you're right, you're right. Otherwise, I'm picking the 49ers too. But the crazy thing is it's going to be tomorrow, and the Chiefs will have won, and we're both look stupid.
The thing: I have zero invested. I have zero to lose. Yeah. I have zero interest, and so I'm going to put all my money, all my $0, on the 49ers.
All of her theoretical money's on the Niners. Yeah. So.
Hey, who are the Browns? What sports are they?
They're football as well. The Browns. The Browns is kind of like the Bills if your number one goal is just to, like, win games at all.
Who? Like, what town? Are they also?
Cleveland. Vegas.
Okay, I was thinking Chicago. It's like, it's not Chicago, but it's a C town.
No. Yeah, okay. They're a heartbreak. They're the heartbreak hotel of just winning games at all, whereas the Bills had the heartbreak hotel of just losing Super Bowls. So
would the Browns get, like, a participation ribbon?
I don't think they would even get that, honestly. I feel like that's reserved for people of certain records. They did okay this year, but historically they've one of the few teams that has just lost all of the games. They've not, you know, there's, I know at least one year they didn't win a single game.
Why is a team name even the Browns?
I think it was named after their original owner.
Oh.
They're like a super old team, like back whenever they. Listen, it's not a good name. I can't tell you the exact history of the Cleveland Browns.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, we're digressing terribly, but Browns is a terrible name. As is, sorry, it's Oklahoma true. Sooners. Yeah. That's not a thing.
Yeah, can I tell you something else that's fun?
What's that?
My understanding is this: the Buffalo Bills. I think I heard this recently. The Buffalo Bills. Everybody thinks, oh, like they're named after like buffaloes or whatever. And like, no, that's the name of their town. Evidently, when they first were named, I think they were named after a popular barbershop quartet, in actuality. Don't ask why. I can't tell you the exact history, but that is my understanding, is that the Buffalo Bills were named after a popular barbershop quartet at the time, back when they were formed in the early 60s.
What I love about this episode is that for the last, I don't know, 10 minutes, we've been talking about sports, maybe not all specifically related to the 90s, and someone listening is very knowledgeable on this and is just screaming like the
yeah
Browns,
they're like, no, like,
that's not what the Bills are named after, you idiots, like,
yeah. That might be wrong, but I literally heard somebody else say that once, and I was like, oh my gosh. But yeah, because like the team name is actually the Bills, not the Buffalo Bills. So I mean, Buffalo just happens to be their town they're from. So Anyways, right, that's the end of my thing. That's the end of my thing. Here I said it's going to be short, and then I think we just ended up waxing poetic on some other dumb shit. Yeah. So. So here's some uplifting things for your hearts, guys. Michael Jackson's marriage and the Buffalo Bills.
I know. I was going to cover Super Bowl ads from the 90s, but I was like, my internet was shitting out. And I said, you know what? Everyone knows Bud.
Wise.
And that was the only one I could remember off the top of my head. And then I just moved
that's
on.
That's it. That's the only one. It's the only one. So all right. We did want to make a quick announcement before we go to the break.
Sure.
So this episode is going to be what we in the biz like to call the end of season one.
Yeah, dog.
Of 90s Court. We thought 25, that's a good round number. We're gonna call it the end of the season. Now, what does that mean logistically for everyone? Mm-hmm. So that means that we are this is our last episode for a couple weeks. We're gonna be back in 2 weeks. On the 23rd.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to take 2 weeks off. Unless you're a patron, to our beautiful patrons, you will be getting a episode of Y2 Court this coming week for our patrons only. So, by the way, just a quick shout out. We don't give very many plugs many times. If you haven't checked out our Patreon, please check it out. We have a few different tiers that are really great, have some different perks. We have a lot of our bailiffs right now who are at the $5 level. They get... a few different perks, including our bonus episode of Y2 Court, which is our 2000 to 2005 90s court style podcast.
Mm-hmm. And then you also get stickers. And if you want, I can mail some out and like spray them with perfume and then be like, this is what 90s court smells like.
This is what 90s court smells like. And I'll just fart on mine.
It's true. Mine will smell like amber oil and yours will smell like Taco Bell and Monster Pizza. Energy drink.
Yes, that's fair. So anyways, enough of this this nonsense. We're going to take a break here, get back with the polls, and then check out our hot court case for this week. So we will catch you all after the break. All
right, see ya. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Thank you for hanging in there post our delightful anchor ad. Wasn't it nice?
It's sweet
music.
It's so hard not to just be lulled into a false sense of security as I'm like, yes, I will make a podcast too. I wonder how many people like have ever listened. Because we had the anchor ad on this one and then also my first podcast, Marianne Eric Goodness, who like heard that and were like, you know what? Yes, I'm going to make my own podcast because that's a pretty big commitment. Like to do, I mean, the thing is, it's a big commitment to decide to do it and have the subject matter to do it and everything like that, and decide that like, hey, I'm like a person who I think would be able to talk for like a long period of time, uninterrupted.
Yeah.
But God damn, like if you like, just as a quick side note, if you want to make a podcast, if you want to make a podcast, not necessarily a good podcast, just a podcast in general, like. It's super easy. If you're like, I don't care if this is like just kind of a mediocre show, go for it. Just pull out your iPhone, download the app, and just start recording. And you're like, oh, now this piece of garbage that I've just produced is everywhere, you know? You know, I say that. I'm only saying that as a way of saying like there is more effort that goes into making it good, like Lisa's dope editing skills and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And being so hilarious and dope and woke like we are. But
so woke.
But...
That's
the nice thing about talking about stuff from the 90s is like there's no political horseshit or like need for wokeness because we're just talking about stuff from like childhood, you know, so we're good,
at least from our childhood. If we had like any of our parents listening, they'd be like, but what about Clinton's impeachment?
Guys shoving up cigar up that pussy. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh.
That was my understanding.
Right, we don't need to talk about that. That's enough. I've got to do research
literally
on that one.
Literally after saying, let's not get political, then I'm just like, here's the thing that I've heard once that somebody said and I believed it to be true.
It's probably true. It was the White House after all. Buck Wild. Listen, before we move on to this week's court case, we have to bring up some bad blood, which was what happened on the polls this last week.
I don't think anybody was happy about it. I think, oh my God, I was about to make a political thing. I was going to make a political comparison to this, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to say it.
This is not the lesser of two evils. This is the two really good shows and a surprising upset. So we've got Boy Meets World versus Pete and Pete, and you guys I'm going to start with the good news. Twitter gave...
We're a little more woke
a here less of an ass beating.
Yeah, we're a little more woke on Twitter.
Twitter gave Boy Meets World 58% and Pete and Pete 42%.
Wow,
not
what
terrible.
And honestly, like, I would have expected that because I would have said there's a lot more people who watch Boy Meets World. So I would expect more people to be like, oh, I've seen this show, so I'm going to put this. And oh my gosh, I forgot about that show. What a great show. Cool.
Right. And then Facebook came along and said, what the hell is Pete and Pete? Why am I even commenting on this post? What is life? What account is this? What is Pete and Pete? Guess what? My vote goes to Boy Meets World. Mm-hmm. And they just, it was 85 to 15, 85% to 15% Pete and Pete. So Pete and Pete did not win.
Pete and Pete is the fucking Buffalo Bills of this podcast.
Yes. Yeah, it was it was pretty sad. It was pretty sad.
I was just telling Lisa, I was like, this is reminiscent of like, because we've had a few court cases that were similar to this where it was just a fucking ass beating, you know, like, and kind of like, so Ninja Turtles Power Rangers is the one that I think is the closest comparison because like, it's one of those things that's like, yeah, we had an Urkel and Screech one, and yeah, and Screech got destroyed. That wasn't like a huge surprise. No one was like super upset about that. Like, that's fine. Yeah. But Power Rangers just got so done wrong by that poll. Like, understandable, Ninja Turtles is better, and people hate whenever we're like, oh, why'd you have to face it against this? I want to vote Power Rangers. I'm like, because we want you to struggle, and it sucks whenever we see that it was not that hard of a decision afterwards.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah.
So
I thought I honestly had to sit there for a minute and like force myself to choose Boy Meets World over Pete and Pete because I was like, I covered Boy Meets World. I have to I should defend it here as well.
A2 Lisa.
Yeah, I know. But listen, that's a wrap on Pete and Pete. Yeah. Sorry, dog. You deserved better. You didn't need to go out like that. But onward and upward.
Yes, it is. So we're gonna take you guys back. And Lisa is the one who came up with the topic this week, and I greatly appreciate it because I was kind of like, I had like, you know, some thoughts, but I've asked Lisa a few weeks in a row where I'm like, hey, can you think up something? Like, cause I want Lisa to bring me something that maybe I'm not super comfortable with. So she instead said, we kind of touched on it last week about at some point we have to touch on things that one or both of us is not terribly familiar with. Fortunately, movies are the easiest thing to research.
Yes.
Because you just have to sit down and watch 2 hours and then you know what happened and you know everything. So Lisa brought up a great court case. And Lisa, what is that court case?
I actually was like, what if we covered something I was like, I haven't seen either of these two movies that are huge from the 90s. Uh-huh. Turns out you hadn't seen them either. I was like, it would be so fun to come in completely bare and not know what's going on. Our court case this week is Sleepless in Seattle versus You've Got Mail.
Mm-hmm. And here's the crazy thing. When we chose these, we did not know that both of the main characters were the same people. In fact,
Lisa, I'm so stupid. Yeah.
Who did I think was the main actor in Sleepless in Seattle? You said like, you're like, oh, and I think these are both Tom Hanks movies. And I was like, isn't Sleepless in Seattle like Billy Crystal or something?
Okay. Here's the thing, real quick. I told my friend, I went to this all day severe weather seminar yesterday in Austin. Mm-hmm. And I was with my friend and I told her what case we were doing. She was like, oh, who's going to cover the scene in the diner where she fakes an orgasm at the table? And I was like, that's not this movie. She was like, yes, it is. And I was
like, is that when Harry Met Sally? Like,
yes, and
I was thinking of. Yes,
I know. I was like, okay, look, I watched this movie, and I'm not entirely sure that this wasn't in the movie because you're freaking me out now. So I went and Googled it. I was like, Billy Crystal, the poor man's Tom Hanks. So
that's right. That's what I got mixed up. Though Sleepless in Seattle, and You've Got When Harry Met Sally. So yeah. That explains why I got those mixed up.
So we both apparently took a ton of notes because we'd never seen these movies before. So I would really love to hear your notes on You've Got Mail. I cannot wait to hear you dig this, like, drag this movie through the mud. So I will let you go first.
Here's the thing, okay? So before we even started this, whenever she suggested the two, I said, I'll take You've Got Mail because, honestly, like, super random fact. I did plays occasionally. This was a random one where I had a very small bit role in it, but it was community theater, which I didn't do a lot of community theater. Usually I did it involved with school, but when I was, like, a junior in high school, I did a community theater play called She Loves Me in Champaign, Illinois. And I only mention that because it was basically they've made multiple redos of the original show, which was called Parfumerie, which was a Hungarian play, or Parfumerie, aka perfume, mm-hmm. perfume place, by Miklos Laszlo. And She Loves Me was one of many reboots of this play, which this one was made into a musical, and it was actually based on Perfume and everything like that, a Perfume story, and it was about this person who wrote letters to this person, and they were like in love via the letters and everything, but then it turned out they were people who hated each other in real life. So
okay.
I had a good understanding of what the general theme of it was going to be. I had no idea until I started watching. I'm like, wow, they really stuck true to a lot of the things from the original concept. That was from She Loves Me and some of the other ones. The most notable one was The Shop Around the Corner, which mm-hmm. came out in 1940, which that's featured, I believe, Jimmy Stewart and somebody else that I don't remember who it was. But
real quick, I'm going to say, I'm sorry to interrupt. Mm-hmm. I actually did watch both movies. So if you hear me like commenting, I wasn't lying to you. I hadn't seen either movie sure. before this, but I have watched both and I have commentary to add yes. now. So boom, sorry, I'm not yes. a liar. I promise.
And as just another reminder to people about like, you know, like people who maybe are thinking about Patreon, I did once again pay money to get this movie, which apparently was not available anywhere. So I did pay my $3.99 or whatever the hell to rent this movie. So you're welcome. So intro of the movie starts out. Okay. So this is the first thing I noted on this immediately, because the intro of the movie starts out with some great Windows 95 horse shit, some dial-up oh, yeah. tones, some SimCity graphics, and just a whole bunch of cutting edge computer technology. Like this is oh, the yeah. thing. The best thing about this movie right off the bat was the premise that like this is gonna stand the test of time because AOL is here to stay.
For sure. AOL is here. Number one, like swinging dick of the internet right there.
Swinging dick of the internet. And so I will note, I did, when I was reading through trivia, like they did note that like apparently the version of AOL that they were using was actually a brand new version. It was version 4, which was apparently in progress, but was not released yet. And so this was almost like, not surprising, marketing for AOL's new version of AOL at the time as well. And as for those of you who apparently are not familiar or maybe were not alive at this point, there was the popular "you've got mail" that comes up when you got an email. Because back then, like an email was a much bigger deal, like versus now it's like, Jesus, if I got that every time, it'd be like, oh, some fucking Hungarian prince, like Nigerian prince gonna fucking get me some shit, or like mm-hmm. Jerry from this place that I went to 4 years ago is still sending me spam emails, you know? So it starts out and they're kind of like showing kind of the setup to kind of give you an understanding. So this version, there were multiple versions, like I mentioned. This is the first one where both members, Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks, who are the main characters, are both in relationships at mm-hmm. the time of it. So apparently Greg Kinnear's in this movie. Immediately I put Greg Kinnear is in this movie as my bullet point. So
it was good to see him.
Yeah. And it's funny because like you can tell like Meg Ryan, like basically the entire movie is just totally indifferent to Greg Kinnear. Like this fucking guy, immediately he's talking about an article about how computers are the end of society and solitaire had to be removed from all these computers in Virginia because it completely destroyed all productivity, which is funny because I bet this was actually a thought that people had back then, was that like this fucking shit is going to fucking be the downfall of all of us. And we all ended. And so he finally leaves, and then Meg Ryan, looking out the window multiple times, like she's committing the deepest of sins, runs to her computer after Greg Kinnear leaves with all this childlike wonderment, watches the AOL login screen and recites "You've got mail" along with the screen. She literally was so excited she said "You've got mail" out loud while this thing popped up. Shortly after, they show Tom Hanks in his life with his girlfriend, Parker Posey.
Love Parker Posey. Yeah. Love the shit out of Parker Posey.
Yeah, she always plays somebody who's either crazy, mean, or just terrible. Like, she's very good at playing kind of like a sadistic person, and she does that very well in this movie. So, as she leaves, like he's running to his closet where he kept a secret hooker that he was going to bone the second his wife left, he hops onto his computer. And also, here's the "You've Got Mail" and starts writing, and you see them writing to each other. So basically the premise is these two, Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan, are weird email pen pals, you know, like you have. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like they're in love. They're both happen to be in NYC. And then the next phase is you kind of see them walking by each other in public. Because the title of this thing, if you look at the poster for this, is someone you pass on the street may already be in love, may already be the love of your life. And they show them passing each other and walking by because apparently they live absurdly close to each other. Dave Chappelle is in this movie?
I love seeing Dave Chappelle. I was like, you know what?
That was my bullet point. That was my bullet point. Is Dave Chappelle's in this flick?
There were, in both movies, I was like, who? What? What are you doing here? And it was fun to see people. Like, did you notice that the bellhop in your movie was also the guy, like Babyface something from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
I did not realize that, no.
I don't know. Anyway,
I haven't seen that movie in long enough to remember that. But
So
I mentioned that because they kind of are showing some back and forth kind of stage setting. Like, yeah, there are these people that are in love with each other on the email, but they don't know anything about each other. They don't know who they are. They're just weird pen pals. So Meg Ryan owns this bookstore called Little Shop Around the Corner, which is an homage to Shop Around the Corner, which was the, as I mentioned, the 1940 popular one with Jimmy Stewart, where... So it's kind of like, you know, it's this nice, wholesome, been in the family for years, small business in New York City. And evidently this movie is actually based on actual events, because then we find out that Tom Hanks owns this store called Fox and Sons Bookstore, which is like a big chain. And evidently the place where Fox and Sons took place is literally the location of a Barnes & Noble that came around in 1986. And there was equal, almost exact same feelings of, oh my gosh, this Barnes & Noble is going to run this one popular Shakespearean bookstore out of business or something like that.
Yeah.
So that was actually happening in New York City as well. So we kind of find Tom Hanks is like a little sketch, a little bit of a big city dickbag. He's celebrating the falling of other independent bookstores with his dad, who is the owner, because you see there's his dad and then his grandfather who are still alive, and they're kind of all in this business. And you find out they're all kind of dickbags. And I mentioned this part, I put a note in here, like characters in a Hallmark Christmas movie, because I don't watch those, but I've heard, there's this one show that like they do this joking segment like a lot during Christmas time on this podcast where they have three storylines and written scripts of like what the Hallmark movie is supposed to be about. Mm-hmm. And one of them's fake that they made up and two of them are real. And they're all totally believable, but just fucking insane. It's almost all of them are always about a big city man who like is like big in industry and everything like that. And like another person that he ends up falling in love with that's like a small town person or something like that. So it's
always.
It's
100% that all the time.
Very akin to that. Let's see. So apparently Tom Hanks has some kids that he has a huge day with. We find out later that it's actually one of them is his aunt and one of them is his sister, because I guess grandpa boned somebody and they had a kid like way later on. And then dad also boned somebody who had a kid way later on. So he's got these two little kids that he's running around with that are his aunt and his sister. So they have this huge day of fun events, bobbing for apples, some kind of fair. So you find out Tom's not such a bad guy. He's just kind of like, when it comes to business, he's a little bit of a dick bag. And they end up going back past, Meg Ryan's bookstore, and the kids asked to go in to listen to story time. And so he goes in with the kids and they like shop around, and he, you know, while he's there, he ends up kind of scouting out the place and everything. And, we end up having this awkward thing where, Meg Ryan is mentioning about how Fox Books, which happens to be Tom Hanks's company, can suck a dick because she doesn't know who he is. So she's just saying all this stuff. So like they kind of have this awkward exchange. He ends up leaving, and you know, nothing negative expressed at that time. Fox and Sons opens up and fuck, things are looking bad for Meg Ryan's store. It's looking real bad. Yeah. For some reason, Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks end up going to this exact same party. I don't remember if it was like for an author or what it was, but
no. A lot of this stuff seemed like unexplained. It was kind of like, and we're just here.
Now they're at a party. Now we're at a party. Who knows why?
I don't know how this would happen. Yeah,
This is the bookstore owner's party. So they end up going there. She finds out his last name is actually Fox. So they're like, oh shit, it's the guy who owns the big bookstore. And she immediately assumes he was like spying on the store. And he basically is like, yes, I'm spying on a little like an itty bitty no bit like store that charges like $70 for a fucking book. Yes, that's what I was doing. So they end up just shitting on each other a ton. And so,
but in a cute, flirtatious way.
Yes.
That's like,
not really
exactly
that.
But she's like smiling the whole time. She mm-hmm. was smiling like, how dare you? Like they were trying
to be polite while also shitting on each other. And the boy, and you kind of figure out that like the boyfriend of Meg Ryan and the girlfriend of Tom Hanks, are not like super potentially loyal because like they, like you pretty much realize that like the boy that, Meg Ryan's boyfriend like pretty much just wants attention from anyone because like Parker Posey ends up giving him some attention and is like, oh my god, I'm such a huge fan of your work, and he's like, oh really, oh wow. So you I kind of had a thought that they were going to end up together, but apparently that's it wasn't going to be. So they go home, they're both pissed, so they, it's late night and they both can't sleep, so they get up and they start emailing each other. And they're like, God, this one piece of shit. You know, and it's great because they're all talking about each other like, man, this fucking guy is such a piece of shit. And of course, there's, you know, the dramatic irony of them being each other.
Yes.
So then, now that they know who each other are, like I mentioned earlier, they live very close to each other and kind of go to similar places. And they keep running into each other. And OMG lulz, oh my gosh, they're so embarrassed to see each other. Oh my gosh, they keep hiding, trying to avoid each other. They even have this part where they're at a grocery store and Tom Hanks kind of like gets this, I don't know. It was this weird, some really weird exchanges. Sorry about that.
That was a cute exchange, but it just made me think that everyone in New York is a total asshole.
Yeah, that seems about right. Sorry, New York. Sorry, NYC.
All the New Yorkers listening to this show.
Yeah. So then they start instant, when they're online, they're kind of like, again, bitching about each other indirectly. During the exchange, Tom is basically telling her, yeah, you need to fight back. Because he gets so excited when she says something like, it's about my business. And he's like, oh, business, huh? Well, I know a lot about business. And they end up talking to each other and telling her, you need to fight back. You need to fuck this dude up. Fucking scorched earth. Fucking Sherman's march to the sea. Destroy this motherfucker. And she's like, yeah. So she ends up doing that and like going to the presses and everything like that. And this huge like launched attack on this bookstore. And it seems like things are going well for her for a while. Like everybody's like, hell yeah. Let's do it. Let's take down Big Man. Which, I mean, that happens a lot, you know. And then, of course, the press fades and then it goes away, which is what happened here. Mm-hmm. So let's see. So there's a moment shortly after where, after being talking via email, Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan's characters, their personas online, because they don't know that they're each other yet, decide they're going to meet in person. So Tom goes with Dave Chappelle to the cafe where they're supposed to meet, and she's supposed to have a flower and a book, Pride and Prejudice, I think, on the table with her. And so, like, he has Dave Chappelle go in first to check her out and see if she's, like, ugly. Because you never know. It could be a fatty or an uggo. You know, that's from a fatty uggo speaking. So it's okay. So he scopes her out and he's like, what if I, like, he's like she looks kind of like, he said something about, like, what if she looked like the name of the person that Meg Ryan's character is? I'm not even looking up their character name.
I think it was Margaret Kelly. I think
yeah.
that's what it was. Margaret
looks like
yeah.
Margaret Kelly. He's like, what do you mean if it looks like Margaret? He's like, because like it's Margaret Kelly. And he's like, because if you don't like Meg Ryan, you're going to hate this bitch. And that was what I had written down. Tom ends up letting her wait a super long time. And then finally walks in and is just pretending like he's not the email person, but he's just kind of being a dick, really. Like, just kind of like, you know, and she's like having this really hard emotional moment of this guy just like standing her up, and he's just being super unpleasant to her. And then they'd had this conversation that I think is super interesting, because I like this concept, where Tom Hanks had mentioned to her, like, she's like, she kept talking about it, like, man, you know, whenever you want to say, you think up later on, you're thinking about things I would have said in an argument that were really, really scorched his ass. He's like, yeah, but then, you know, the problem is, then the one day you finally do say the perfect thing, then you're filled with nothing but shame and remorse afterwards. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens, is that she says the exact thing to hurt him and cut him deep. And he just kind of stands up and walks out. And she just felt awful about it afterwards, you know? And I like that, because that's so true, is like the amount of times, like when you're like, when you finally say the exact right thing to try and cut somebody down and show them what's what, and then you end up just feeling like a total dick afterwards.
Oh yeah.
Cause you actually hurt somebody.
Yep. Don't be an asshole.
Yeah. Let's see. So Meg Ryan, she thinks she got stood up.
That was a really cute scene in the cafe, by the way. That was super cute.
That one?
Yeah, I thought it was cute because he, like, she was obviously like, get away from my table. I don't want this. And then, like, with the compact looking, and he's just like, like staring at her compact, like, what, bitch? It's still me. Like, I'm the dude. And she was like, I love you, but I don't love you, you know?
Yeah. But basically, yeah. So he knows that she's the person he's emailing. She does not know that yet, though.
Yeah.
So, they end up emailing each other and apologizing and something like, hey, listen, like, I was stuck and I couldn't do it. Let's see. So then, what ends up happening is, I think, he ends up indirectly, like, she ends up emailing him, and in a super indirect way, basically saying, like, yeah, like, what I did was totally unacceptable. I shouldn't have treated this guy like that. And then Tom, in email form, because they're not supposed to know who each other are, also says, like, yeah, but I bet, like, the guy was, like, he probably was a total dick or something. Like, basically, like, it was a way of him indirectly apologizing, too. Basically, he feels bad for what happened, and she feels bad for what happened. So then immediately, I kind of start skipping around a little bit more. Meg Ryan closes the store. Oh, no.
I loved, if I may add right here, I loved how her grandmother, or who was the older woman?
I think it was a grandma, because she's, which is super weird, because her name is like, it's Birdie Conrad, which I was thinking the entire time, like, this Conrad Birdie just flipped backwards, which apparently is true. Like, because from Bye Bye Birdie, I'm not sure if you've ever seen the show.
I haven't.
Yeah, Conrad Birdie is the name of the main character. So
I loved how at this point she was like, well, what are we supposed to do? And this old woman was like, I don't know, fucking close the store, who cares? And she was like, she was so flippant, and everyone's like, yeah, we should just close it. And there was zero fight put up.
Yeah,
other than our car. They're like, yeah, you're right, it's over.
You're right, it's okay. Over. Sorry, Mom.
And they just went on being cute in the 90s.
Yeah. So, anyways, so there's lots of feels, and she ends up breaking up with Greg Kinnear, and some things happen that basically make Tom realize that Parker Posey is the fucking devil, which she is.
Yep.
And they're ready to change some shit up. So there's a lot of heartfelt emotional scenes, like just of them, you know, doing nice things and trying to change their lives and everything. And what ends up happening is Tom's character ends up befriending Meg Ryan in his adorable plan to basically befriend her and hang out with her as a friend. And it's actually like really cute. Like, he comes to her house with flowers. Like, she keeps thinking he's going to be doing mean things. And he's like, no, I'm just brought you flowers. She's like, God, I'm such a piece of shit. And he's like, no, it's okay, it's fine. So they end up, like, for a long period of time going on these friend dates, basically hanging out, and like they just keep running into each other coincidentally, and then, you know, having lunch together and stuff, and they end up, you know, really hitting it off. They end up realizing that they like each other a lot, and he ends up, like, giving advice about, like, because he's emailing her as his persona online while at the same time in real life talking to her about himself, basically.
Yeah,
like giving advice, like, oh, he sounds shady as shit, like, did he ever answer this? Like, so it's goofy, but anyways, he's got this big grand plan, and basically online he makes a plan. Finally, they're going to meet in real life at this park, and on that same day Tom Hanks has a date with her, like, during lunch to, like, meet up. And I remember he says, like, you know, I really could have seen us together, like, what would you have ever, you know, what if we'd never had this? Like, do you think you could have seen yourself dating me or whatever? Like, if I hadn't have ruined your business and everything like that, and could you ever forgive me for that? And she's kind of, like, teared up and, like, you know, walks away. And then finally the final moment when they're in the park and she's standing there waiting, and all of a sudden you hear the dog run up that she, that's the main reason she knows it's really him. Really the guy from online is, like, Buckley or whatever his name is.
Brinkley
runs up. He's like, Brinkley, get back here. And then as he comes over the hill, she sees it's actually Tom Hanks, and she is just, like, so happy, because by this point they've actually, like, she realizes she actually likes him as a person now. And he comes up as Somewhere Over the Rainbow Plays. It is, like, this thing is, like, I, like, you know, I'm still a sucker for heartfelt moments and everything. It was super cute, and the background music was good. And he comes up to her and says, "Don't cry, shop girl," which I'm assuming is probably something from one of the original shows. "Don't cry, shop girl," I think was probably from one of the original versions of it. And then she said,
"Shop girl" was her username.
Oh, damn it. Yeah. You're right. That's why. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Shop okay. girl. But I feel like they both had numbers behind it. And in my heart, her name was Shop Girl 420.
Shop Girl 420. 69. and then she delivers the line, I wanted it to be you. I wanted it to be you so badly. And then they make out real hard.
And, in public.
And it's in public, but you know, it's New York. So, I mean, pretty much everything's going to be done in public, basically. So,
it's true.
I don't know. So, I mean, this movie, like I said, like I understand why it was a super popular movie, especially if you didn't know about the other ones. Like, I was kind of like, I mean, it's very similar to the other ones. It's just kind of like with a newer tech feel with, and of course, Tom Hanks, I mean, fucking masterpiece, you know, it's hard to deny that. Yeah. And obviously this story is one that's been done multiple times, in different versions, and there's a reason for that. So they ended up having, spent $65 million on this movie, and it came out with a box office of $250.8 million.
That's a pretty good
turnaround. So, yeah, it was a big turnaround. I think that's really all I had to say on this movie. It was a surprisingly good flick. It's one of those things that's kind of nice when you haven't seen it, and you're like, oh, now I have an excuse that I have to see it, and I'm like, I didn't regret it.
Yeah, so, I thought it was a fun introduction to online dating, too, because there were so many, like, where are you meeting this guy? Oh, he's from the internet. It's it's 2020 where literally like 112% of people meet on the internet.
Yeah, like, it is no funny, like, because she's so embarrassed. But I mean, this thing is now you can at least see a person. But yeah, like it's funny because like in that version, like the one where you literally can't see each other in any way, shape, or form, even if you wanted to, except to just communicate that way. So it was a sweet movie. It was a good one, and you know, I didn't really have as much to make fun of as I hoped. It was just it was goofy. And it was fun. So the end, because that was a very long court case I just did.
It's all good. Well, I'm going to kick off now pretty quickly with Sleepless in Seattle. And I just want to start off by saying the 90s fucking loved Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. Yes. Like, they just wanted them to be together. They were just like, everything. kiss, and they did. Yes. They did on several occasions. So this movie dropped in 93, so several years before You've Got Mail. And we open on Tom Hanks, who's Sam, and his son just standing at a grave of his dead wife. And you're like,
good times.
Oh. That's an introduction. It turns out he's like an architect. I don't know what he was, architect or something like that. But this is like, he's like, fuck, I'm depressed. My wife is dead. And like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to move my son and I to Seattle, I guess, because that's what every child needs right after the loss of a parent is another giant change.
Oh, never mind. No, I was going to say just moving to Seattle in general. That was you. Anyways, moving on.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Don't move to Seattle. Well, do move to Seattle, but don't.
Only temporarily, don't though.
So, hey, newsflash. It rains a ton in Seattle, and it's a deeply depressing place to live. And dating there is literally the hardest it is in anywhere in the nation. Ask anybody. There have been articles about it. It's fucking nightmare. So cool. Take you, the widower, and your son who just lost a child and move them to a place where it's gray and rainy all the time.
Mm.
Cool.
Nice.
Good move, Dad. So suddenly they do this like 18 months later thing, and we're cutting over to Baltimore where we meet Meg's Ryan character, Annie, who is announcing her engagement to basically a walking peanut allergy. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I can't remember what character that is. I don't know the name of the...
Is it Bill Pullman?
It might. I can't Google it right now because it'll break the internet. But the character's name is Walter. But he's just a big peanut allergy person. He's just allergic to everything. And fun side note that David Hyde Pierce, who played Niles Crane in Frasier, was that show was also set in Seattle. In this movie, he plays Annie's brother Dennis. That just jumped out to me because it was like so much Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle stuff
coming. Yeah, so much Seattle stuff. So things aren't going super well with this engagement, but you know what? They're in two separate cars because it's the 90s and who cares about global warming? And she's like, I'm going to meet you at your parents' house or wherever we're going, and I'll be right behind you. So they're taking these separate car rides to his family, and she listens to the radio. And in listening to the radio, she hears Sam's son, so Tom Hanks' character's son, Jonah, calling into this national radio talking about how his dad needs a new wife. And It's like, this is kind of weird. And of course it cuts over to, you know, shots of Tom Hanks, who's of course living on a houseboat because that's what you do in Seattle. And that's the only thing that you do.
Hold on.
In Seattle.
He literally did that in both of these movies.
Yeah.
He's living on a boat. Anyways, moving on.
Yeah. It's a whole fucking thing. So the radio host starts talking to Sam about his late wife and how he should probably move on and try to fall in love again. And the whole time Annie, Meg Ryan's character, is listening, she's starting to choke up a little bit. And the radio host dubs this guy Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh.
And it's a whole thing. And it becomes a hit with the women of national radio. Like, mm-hmm. Everyone's listening. Everyone's becoming obsessed. Everyone wants to know what's up with this guy, Sam, with his kid. We need to get in on this. I need to get that, like, we need to get this. And so everyone's obsessed. And all the while, Annie is getting a bit obsessed, too, with the idea of Sam, and is looking at her fiancé like, what the fuck am I doing with this giant mm-hmm. EpiPen of a person? I hate this. And so,
can you hold on? So, you said he was a giant peanut allergy? Is he literally just like a nervous person who just has like a ton of allergies?
Yes. Okay. And in the movie, he's like, I'm allergic to strawberries. I'm allergic to this. Allergic to that. Da, da, da. And his whole family's like, cool. Or her whole family's like, this is really cool, super fun. So Sam keeps getting letters from women who are like, I want to get on that sad, broken heart dick right now. And women are just going bananas in the 90s over this guy. So Annie's like, you know what? I'm going to take it to the next level. And I'm going to hire a detective? And they're going to take pictures of you. And so she's like, the detective's taking pictures of him while he's out on a date with someone in Seattle. And all the while, Jonah, the son, is trying to sabotage this date and the relationship that he's developing with this woman, mm-hmm. his new girlfriend, who by the way, has the worst laugh in the universe. You remember Janice from Friends?
Yes, yeah.
No, down below where this woman is, below. It's a different bad. It's bad. So where am I in my notes? So Annie is like, wow, I'm an independent woman, and I'm going to take charge, and I'm going to become a top all of a sudden. And she just lies to her fiancé, is like, guess what? I'm taking a story. I'm going to Seattle, and I'm working on something, and I'm going to do something. And she flies to Seattle and goes to see Sam in person, but like secretly. So she's instantly smitten, and like, or hold on, I lost my track of my notes. They have a cute moment where like they're in the airport and Tom Hanks is saying goodbye to his girlfriend. Like she's getting on mm-hmm. a flight for something. And then as she's getting on the plane, oh, who comes off from her arriving flight in Seattle? But Annie, Miss Meg Ryan herself. And Tom Hanks is like, aren't you so cute? But they don't know it's each other yet. He doesn't know who she is. And she, I guess, doesn't look at him, even though she's seen pictures of him from the detective because she's a fucking psychopath. So she spends the day stalking him while he's out with his son and almost gets hit by a car while stalking him. And that's when he turns around and is like, whoa, are you okay? And she's like, and then she flies home. So
what the fuck is happening here? Like, why is this person so creepy?
This is an insane movie. She's insane. Meg Ryan was insane. And her best friend is played by Rosie O'Donnell. And Rosie O'Donnell's like, yeah, fucking go for it. It's the 90s. Go for this.
Get that D, my lady.
Get that sad, broken D. So she's all over this. Oh, no. No. And so, let's see. She goes home and is like relaying all this information, and you know the internet or the radio stations are still talking about Sleepless in Seattle and things like that. And Sam, Tom Hanks's character, is like, whatever. You know what? I've got this girlfriend who laughs like a hyena. I'm gonna go get boned. I'm gonna go take her away for the weekend. And guess what? My son Jonah, you're staying with a babysitter while I go do this. And they have this big blow up. And the next morning, he wakes up to go on this trip, and Jonah's gone. Jonah's just Jonah Amsgrade.
No.
This whole time, he's been riding back and forth with Annie's character. And Annie thinks that it's Tom Hanks's character, but she's really talking to the son. Mm-hmm. And he was like, we need to meet at the Empire State Building in New York. I think they said New Year's Eve, I think is what they were planning. And so, just like always, kids are like flying unattended in the 90s.
Sure.
So Tom Hanks wakes up to go on his like big sex weekend with his hyena girlfriend. And Jonah's gone because he got on a flight to New York, which you can just do, I guess. And so Annie goes with her fiance to New York and then has this like super weird coming to Jesus. Like, yo, I'm falling for this random dude from the radio that I don't know. And he takes it like a little suspiciously well. So what I found funny about both movies, both of our movies, is that everyone was like, yeah, it's wicked easy to let go of Meg Ryan. Like a breeze. like her character or her boyfriend and or fiance or whatever he was in You've Got Mail was like, okay, I'm going to go hang out with the news reporter or the person. Yeah. He was like, I liked her. That's fine.
She said, I'm in love with you. And he's like, oh, that's what makes it so much harder. And she's like, wait, you don't love me either? Sweet. Like, that was the end of it. They're just like, oh, good. We've been living with each other for so long.
Meg Ryan just forgot to mention. Yeah, changing dudes out like people change underwear. She was going for it in the 90s. And so she's with her fiance on like New Year's Eve. And he is like, LOL, I don't know. That's fine. If you want to go be with this random dude. So the whole time Jonah's at the top of the Empire State Building, like, are you Annie? Like, I'm here to find my new mom. And so Annie takes a cab over to the Empire State Building. All the while, you know, Sam, Tom Hanks's character is like, fuck, I got to get to New York. I got to find my kid. What the hell's going on? And so Sam runs up to the Empire State Building to Jonah. All the while Annie's en route and like dumping her fiance for a widower from a radio show. It's totally cool. Don't worry about it.
All fine.
They, of course, miss each other as the observation deck is closing. But stupid ass Jonah is being a kid and leaves his super precious teddy bear at the top of the observation deck. And Annie is of course, like holding it up there, holding it like, I miss my future widower husband. She's so sad holding this teddy bear. And then boom, Sam and Jonah come up the elevator and they see each other and they're like, oh, hi, this is it. We're in love. We did it. And like they meet and Jonah's like, hell yeah, this is my new mom. And like they all go, you know, they hold hands and they go down the elevator together with Jonah. And that's how they meet. And that's literally the end of the movie.
It's like things might have worked out or they might have just been like,
I know. Yeah. I know. I wish they would have like followed up with the reality of what probably happened. Like maybe the fact that Annie has potentially horrific halitosis and her breath is so fucked up that like he's like, wow, I really can't handle this. Or maybe like Tom Hanks's character has a third nipple and that's a huge turnoff and a big no for, you know, Annie or Meg Ryan's character. And so, you know, they realize what a horrible mistake they've made and this nosy ass kid ruined everything and they ended up only like half talking for a few weeks and then it's just they both get on match.com. But
not 93.
Well, I mean, whatever, like what local chat rooms, local, whatever the, speed like Yahoo chat was a thing then.
Mm-hmm.
No, probably not in 93.
Yeah, 93. No, there was like nothing in 93.
Anyway, it's unrealistic.
They go to the bar.
What I'm saying. They go to the bar and they're like, wow, this was a terrible mistake. We've spent so much money in 1993 to get together at the observation deck of the Empire State Building when neither of us live there.
Just, like Seattle to New York is fucking bonkers. Like, that's so far away.
Yeah, I think she was living in Baltimore at the time, so it doesn't... Guys, like, I don't know. What about, like, meeting in Kansas City? Like, that's
I know. Halfway. Like, you want to meet in Nebraska?
Do you want to meet and get some, like, pretty good barbecue, I guess?
Yeah.
Nebraska's great, no time of year. Would you like to come meet me there?
Meet in Rapid City, South Dakota. They got a lot of landmarks
Sioux
around
Falls?
There.
Sioux Falls? Come on. So, anyway, that's what happened. And both movies were just, I mean, like, the 90s were all rom-coms, right?
Yeah.
So, Two heavy hitters.
This one's just like, because mine at least, like, I think it's because it's like a little bit more forward. Like, they do a little more stage setting for how this could possibly be a thing. Like, you know, how, like, I understand them getting together, like, in mine. Like, yours, I don't understand at all, like, how they got together. But I also didn't watch the movie, so.
It was just a radio show, and Meg Ryan was completely psychotic and was like, I'm going to find him, and I'm going to do things to him. He's an anonymous person, and in 1993, this is difficult to accomplish.
Yeah.
And she was psycho enough that she did it. Can you imagine being obsessed with someone that much that you don't have the internet and you still find them?
God.
Can you imagine
how much
work
that is? A private investigator. A PI. That's crazy.
Listen. Anyway, those are some Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan shits right there. So let us know which Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan shit you liked better.
Which I will say this. I mean, they only dropped 21 mil on this and they made 227.9 mil in the box office.
Ah, so they did better on mine?
Yeah, they did pretty good. I mean, they made less money, but they spent a lot less on it too. So
yeah. And it was fun to watch that one because I did live in Seattle for 6 years, and it was fun to be like, but eh. I moved there, 16 years later, so it was.
Who did Bill Pullman play in this? Because apparently he played Walter. I don't know who Walter was.
Walter was the fiance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So that was, right. I don't know names of some of the other
actors. He was the allergy person?
Yeah, the walking EpiPen.
Man, yep. I still have to say, I think it was Rita Wilson, maybe. I'm trying to think. I don't know who it was, but the person you said, he got on a flight, like a sex flight, to go have sex with his hyena girlfriend or whatever. I don't remember what it was, but just that, the verbiage you used, just, I was like, I cannot believe you just kept rolling after that because it was so good.
Where there's a will, there's a way. If you're a widow and it's been a minute, you're gonna
get it
all
in.
Means necessary, even if it's a high-ended lady.
All hands on deck. So, let's get it in.
All hands on deck. All right, guys.
Anyways, that's the end of the court case. So which one's better, gang? Are you gonna vote for Sleepless in Seattle because it's a more recognizable name, or are you gonna vote for the movie that was actually better?
You've Got Mail was pretty good. I enjoyed it, but there was a lot of like not explaining shit there either. So both movies are kind of like, you just want to see Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks get it together in the end.
Yeah.
Who cares what happens in between? That's what
they gave us. They gave us a 5-year break between the two, which was nice. But they came back. Yeah. So, let me go ahead. I can wrap up the show here. So where to find us? So as we mentioned, there is going to be a break again. If you didn't catch that last on the first half, we are going to be taking a break for a couple weeks. However, if you are on Patreon, you follow our Patreon, or maybe you haven't yet, now's a great time, gang, because we're about to release our second Patreon exclusive this coming week. So if you want to check us out, it's on patreon.com/90s court. I did want to touch really quick, just because we don't hammer on this too much, but please, if you haven't had a chance, if you listen to us on iTunes, or even if you don't, if you have access to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, what have you, hop on there, leave us 5 stars and a nice little review, even if it's short. We appreciate anything you guys can leave us. It means a lot to us, and most importantly, us getting some exposure so other people can find us. Also, if you want to follow us, check us out on Facebook and Twitter at 90s Court. Instagram at 90s.court, and subscribe, check us out anywhere you get podcasts. We love to have all of you on all of our wonderful platforms.
Hell yeah.
So anyways, I think that's going to do it for us this week. Everybody, hope you enjoyed the big game, because you're going to be listening to this after the fact, but
hopefully that was good. Today.
And you're so hungover.
Everyone's so hungover right now. Sorry, it's 7 a.m.
Should be a national holiday, but somehow it's not. But
yeah.
Anyways, Lisa, do you have any parting remarks before we depart?
We will miss you, and we will talk to you. Well, you and I will record on the 23rd. The episode will be released on the 24th of February. Mm-hmm. My daughter's second birthday. God help me.
Hallelujah.
God. Ugh. But we will see you then. We look forward to bringing you season 2, whatever that means, and it's going to be amazing. And keep in touch with us on social media, and send us, if there's stuff we haven't covered yet and you want to hear us, like just make an appeal to us, man. We love this stuff.
I'll still be on Twitter posting some nonsensical stuff. I'll probably up my game as far as nonsensical things for a while. So if you aren't on Twitter yet, hop on there, check us out.
All right. Take care, guys.
We will catch you next time for season 2.
Sounds good. Take care, guys.
Stay radical.
Bye.